the processional hymn 547. Approach my soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. Third Sunday in the penitential season of Lent. We follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. On page 222, we follow the full form of the Ten Commandments. Page 222. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. You shall not make for yourself any idol. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God. You shall worship him with reverence and awe. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. Christ is risen from the dead. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Honor your father and your mother. Live as servants of God, honor all people, love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You shall not commit murder. Be reconciled with your brother and sister. Overcome evil with good. You shall not commit adultery. Know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You shall not live. Be honest. You shall not steal. Be honest in all you do and care for those in need. You shall not be a false witness. Let everyone speak the truth. You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfilling of the law. And the Lenten Penitential Kyrie is on page 227. Page 227. In the wilderness we find your grace. You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
There is none but you to uphold our cause. Our sin cries out and our guilt is great. Christ, have mercy. Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Restore us, and we shall know your joy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn before Sunday school, 383, Lord, be thy word my rule. Lord, be thy word my rule.
Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years. And will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be in all things acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A verse from today's Gospel passage just read, St. John chapter 2, verse 22. They believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Fair exchange is no robbery, says the old proverb. But in today's gospel, we encounter two exchanges that are unfair, exchanges where ordinary people are robbed of what should be theirs, and one exchange that is altogether different. An exchange that is the reason why you and I are here in church today. Jesus has gone to Jerusalem for the Passover, and in that second chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, in verse 14, we find the first of the unfair exchanges. John tells us, in the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. The trading in the temple was more than an example of unfair exchanges. It was straightforward exploitation of faithful people. Pilgrims to the temple would wish to make a sacrifice, but they could not bring their own animal with them. It must be bought at the temple. Ostensibly, the rule was to ensure the purity of the animals, to ensure that the sacrifice might be one that was pleasing to God, but it allowed a great scope for profiteering, great scope for sellers to charge prices far higher than might have been paid elsewhere. If we read the accounts of Palm Sunday in St. Matthew or St. Mark or St. Luke, we see that Jesus thought of those who sold animals in the temple. In St. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13, Jesus says plainly, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." It is not fair exchange. It is robbery. And it was being carried out not only by the animal sellers, but by the money changers as well. Pilgrims had to pay a temple tax. It amounted to as much as a day's wages for poorer people, but it could not be paid in ordinary currency. It had to be paid in a temple currency that had to be bought from the money changers. They would charge as much as a further day's wages as commission for changing the coins. The financial business of the temple was business in which the faithful were robbed, in which they were exploited by those in charge. The faithful were robbed not only of their money, but of the place that should have been sacred for all. The priests in the temple have exchanged one place for another. Jesus recognizes that the exchange has not been fair, that it has robbed the people, and that it has robbed God. Jesus uses a whip to drive out the sellers and their animals. He throws the money changers' coins on the floor, and he overturns their tables, and he complains loudly of the exchange that has taken place. In verse 16 of that second chapter, he says, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." The solemnity, the sacredness, the holiness of the temple has been exchanged for a marketplace. People have been robbed of their money and robbed of the place that was special to God. These have been no fair exchanges. Jesus, however, speaks of a third exchange, the exchange of the old form of worship for another. He is challenged about what he is doing, and he answered them in verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews expressed disbelief, and St. John adds, he was speaking of the temple of his body. Worship is going to be something thoroughly different. When he has a conversation with a Samaritan woman in chapter 4, Jesus explains that the temple and all that went with it would become irrelevant. In verses 23 and 24 of St. John chapter 4, Jesus says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." No longer will the temple in Jerusalem be the focus of worship. God's presence will no longer be in a building in a city. For Jesus himself will be the temple, the place of God's presence on earth. The temple ceremonies, the old way of worship, will be exchanged for worship in spirit and in truth. The exchange of the old ritual ways for worship in spirit and in truth was a grace-filled exchange. It allowed us access to God for nothing, at no cost, no cost other than what Jesus did for us. Reading the account of Jesus in the temple, reading about him driving out the sellers and the animals and the money changers, we should have a sense of what it meant. That finding the presence of God would no longer be about a particular place at a particular time, but would be something possible at all times and in all places. We meet here today because Jesus exchanged the old ways for a new way. After Jesus had risen from the dead, we are told in verse 22 that the disciples looked back on moments such as this one. They remembered what Jesus had said to them, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Fair exchange is no robbery. There was no fair exchange when people were being robbed of their money. No fair exchange when the place that was to have been sacred for all was turned into a place of profit for a few. And being honest, there was no fair exchange when Jesus became the temple of God's presence, when through his sacrifice on the cross, he became our way to holiness. For what can we give him in exchange for what he gave us? The most extraordinary exchange of all. God's Son is payment for ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. On page 205, we respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, and for our salvation he came down from heaven by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sinners, We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, the wilderness is a lonely and frightening place. It's more comfortable for us in your church to huddle together, supporting each other, than to go into the desert of secular life. As you have given the message of hope and comfort to your people in all ages. Inspire the church with zeal to proclaim the gospel of Christ. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. And we pray for this group of parishes. God of silent places, give us the courage to risk the loneliness of the worldly desert, that your church may grow strong through its ongoing recovery of its wilderness experience during previous coronavirus pandemic restrictions. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, we pray for a world that is shocked and bewildered as it grapples with a hostile and relentless invasion by Russia of its neighboring country, Ukraine, 2 years ago. And we pray too for all in recent months engaged in conflict in Gaza. We pray for a ceasefire and that continued diplomatic activity may see light beginning to emerge at the end of a perilous and increasingly deadly tunnel. Bless Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Chris Heaton-Harris, and the government. The First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, the Deputy First Minister, Lynn Pangele, and the Executive. Also President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, and government in the Republic. Give to all in positions of responsibility throughout the world your wisdom in making decisions that affect the lives and futures of others. May we live in the spirit of Christ for one another and for our world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, during the ongoing conflict, many Ukrainians continue to feel the pain of separation as they have left their homeland and become refugees. Others who have now settled elsewhere are ever anxious about loved ones who remain behind in the country. The families of Ukrainian soldiers and Russian army conscripts fighting the war remain fearful for their welfare. All seeing God, we are able to see only through a glass darkly, so that our visions contain only a grain of truth. Help us to accept our situations as Jesus accepted the wilderness and to learn to love wherever we are. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, for some, life is like an eternal Lent with no Easter at the end. Those who endure a progressive illness or feel an uncertain future in the midst of conflict find it hard to look forward to much resurrection in their health or circumstances. Yet, you too knew suffering in the desert and on the cross without any obvious way forward. And because you endured, we know that all our trials will end in glory, whatever form that glory may take. We pray for all whose lives are presently in a Lenten period, especially all who continue to suffer from sickness or who have suffered injury on the battlefield or who have been bereaved. We pray for those known to us who are sick or are recovering from sickness. Lord, in your mercy. We remember and give thanks for those who have fulfilled their work on earth and entered into rest. Grant them eternal life through the cross that has been borne for them. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. To this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 451, We Come as Guests Invited. Christ, our Passover has been sacrificed for us. We follow the First Communion prayer on page 209. At the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here.
He us.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to overcome all our temptations. And so, with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church, and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, keep you in it. God, our Father, you feed us in this life with bread from heaven, the pledge and foreshadowing of future glory. Grant that the working of this sacrament within us may bear fruit in our daily lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. On Wednesday evening, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, being the fourth Sunday in Lent, we of course will observe, as is traditional on that day, Mothering Sunday. There will be family service at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow week, that's Monday the 11th of March, there will be the annual Easter General Vestry meeting in the hall at 8 o'clock. As usual, the activities of the past year in the parish will be reviewed and elections for the appointment of incoming church wardens and a new select vestry will also take place. Do please make a particular note of this event and attendance, of course, is open to all parishioners, although it is the special prerogative of registered vestry persons to vote and or stand for office. That's Monday the 11th of March at 8 o'clock. This year, the diocesan observance of St. Patrick's Day will take place on Saturday the 16th of March. That's the day before the feast day itself. And I'd be saying more about this next Sunday, although full details are included in the parish magazine, which is currently being distributed. St. Patrick's Day itself takes place this year on Sunday week, the 17th of March. That service will be parish communion, and it will be followed by light refreshments in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid. So the refreshments this month take place not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, the 17th of March. And then, the way the calendar falls this year, we proceed quite speedily to our observance of Holy Week and Easter. On Palm Sunday, the 24th of this month, we will have our customary service of readings, anthems, and music to
to mark the beginning of Holy Week. And then on alternate nights, in this church and in Mara Hamlet during Holy Week, there will be nightly devotional services and at 8 o'clock. And the leader of those this year will be the Dean of Armagh, the Very Reverend Shane Forster. Easter Day will take place on the 31st of March. And again, I'll be reminding you again and reminding myself, but that is actually the day the clocks change and we spring forward 1 hour. The recessional hymn in friendship with the people of Wales this weekend, this St. David's weekend, 647, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy marvel hand.
In peace, to love and serve the Lord.